And I will ask you all to stand for the reading of God's word for the sermon text for today, found in the book of Genesis, going way back almost to the beginning. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15 it'll be for today. Reading in Jesus' name. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me away today from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words to us today. Thank you for this story. Although it is very tragic, we know that you have a lesson for us from it through your grace. And Lord, we pray that you would open hearts and minds today to receive what you have for us. May our worship be acceptable in your sight. O Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I was growing up, there was a TV show where two movie critics, Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert, would review movies. But Siskel and Ebert, if you are familiar with those names, they were famous for the way they would rate movies. Instead of using a 5-star or a 10-star system, they would simply use their thumbs. If one of them would accept a movie as worthy to be watched by us, they would give it a thumbs up. And likewise, if a movie was deemed unworthy for anyone to go to, they would give it a thumbs down. Pretty simple. So with that system of rating movies, if one of them gave a thumbs up, it was probably a good movie to see. But if both of them gave a thumbs up, in other words, Siskel and Ebert, give it 2 thumbs up, you were definitely going to see it. It was a must-see movie. And likewise, if they gave it 2 thumbs down for a particular movie, it wasn't even worth your time considering going to. So it was a simple method of accepting or rejecting movies. And of course, we all listened to the critics, right? Well, with that in mind, allow me to paraphrase a quotation from Dr. James Kennedy. Most people think of church as a drama, with the minister as the main actor, God as the director, and the congregation as the critic. What is actually the case is that the congregation is the main actor, the minister is the director, and God is the critic. Today we're in Genesis chapter 4, which records the first ever act of worship in the Bible. If you recall from the story of Genesis, Adam and Eve have just been kicked out of the Garden of Eden for sinning against God. Sin had entered the world, and Adam and Eve immediately began to face the consequences for their sins. Our passage in Genesis chapter 4 opens with the births of Adam and Eve's first two sons, Cain and Abel. Notice how the author of Genesis wastes no time in getting to the meat of Cain and Abel's story. There's no mention of their growing up life. The only thing we know for sure is that Cain is the older brother. The author goes immediately from their births to their adult occupations. It says that Cain was a worker of the ground. Simply put, Cain was a farmer. On the other hand, Abel was a keeper of sheep. He was a shepherd. So we got a farmer and a shepherd, the first ever recorded occupations in the Bible. Now the passage goes on to say that each brother brings an offering of the Lord, or to the Lord, from their particular occupations. Cain, a farmer, brings an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel brings an offering of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. He's a shepherd. So they're coming to the Lord with sacrifices and offerings from their given occupations. This is where we get to the focus of the passage. Cain approaches worship with a certain attitude in his heart, and likewise, Abel approaches worship also with an attitude, but a totally different one from his brother Cain. God's response to the two offerings reveal the true attitude of each brother's heart. You see, it's not the type of offering that's in question here in this passage. Both grain and animal offerings are perfectly acceptable to God, as seen throughout the Bible. Just read the books of Exodus and Leviticus. They're both acceptable forms of worship to God. It is the attitude in which the offerings are made that counts. God's response to these offerings reveals Cain's attitude as that of a sinner, which is unacceptable to God. Thus, Cain is rejected by God. And it's the same with our acts of worship. We're all here today to worship God. And our text for today tells us that attitude matters. It tells us that God has the right to reject our worship. Just as he rejected Cain's, our sinful attitude prevents us from worshiping God in a way that is acceptable to him. And whether we like it or not, God will reject us if our acts of worship are like Cain's was. Cain's sinful attitude revealed what was going on deep down in his heart. Cain gives three responses which reveal that he brought his offering of worship with the wrong attitude. Our sinful attitudes prevent us from worshiping God acceptably. So first, we are self-focused. After the Lord rejected Cain's offering, it says that Cain was very angry and his face fell. And why wouldn't he be angry? After all, he voluntarily gave up a portion of his crops to the Lord as an act of worship. But the Lord had no regard for his offering. He rejected it. While at the same time, the Lord did accept his brother Abel's offering, which is basically the same given their respective occupations. So what gives? Didn't Cain have a right to be angry? Can you really blame him for being down on himself since God rejected him? No. Since God is the focus of our worship, he has the right to either accept or reject our worship. Cain's demeanor following the Lord's rejection reveals that he was focused on himself rather than God when he made the offering. This is why the Lord himself approaches Cain after he had become angry and his face had fallen. I'll read verses 6 and 7 again. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. God tells Cain that he rejected his offering because of his sinful, self-focused attitude, and warns him that if he keeps that sinful attitude, if that sinful attitude remains in Cain's heart, it will master him. It will penetrate his entire being, like that little drop of red food coloring eventually penetrated the entire glass of water, and it'll make things even worse for Cain as an entire person. Many times we come to church and we approach worship only focusing on ourselves, maybe what we can get out of worship. We're here this morning and every Sunday morning for one reason: to worship God. There are many ways, many forms of worshiping God, but we're here today to worship God. That's why we call it a worship service. But often, many people come to church to shop rather than worship God alone. Maybe we come to church to feel good about ourselves, to sing the songs that make us feel good inside. Maybe we give an offering, some money from our income, but like Cain, we're only focused on how we can benefit from it. Cain was probably thinking to himself, if I offer some of my crops to God, then he'll show favor to me and bless me. But worship is not about us. It's not about getting our needs met. Worship is all about praising God. And when we come to worship focused on ourselves rather than God, we are not truly worshiping. We have the wrong attitude of worship, and ultimately God will reject our worship. He has the right to do so. He is God, just as he rejected Cain's offering. Second, we are bitter towards others. This brings us to the part of the story that probably most of us are familiar with. Cain murders Abel. The first ever death recorded in the Bible is a murder. How terrible. This is why God gives Cain the warning in verse 7 prior to the murder. If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Another way of saying this is like this: if you, Cain, focus on me instead of yourself in worship, I will accept you and your offering. But if you remain focused on yourself, sin will run rampant within your soul. But Cain doesn't listen to God. Cain is so focused on himself that he is deaf to anything that the Lord says to him at that moment. And the sin crouching at his door quickly turns his self-focused attitude into one of raw bitterness toward his brother Abel, whom God had accepted. As God warned, sin's desire was to have Cain, and it does in the most unfortunate way possible to man. His bitterness toward his brother goes to the extreme. Cain murders Abel. Remember, it wasn't the rejection that caused Cain to murder Abel. It all goes back to Cain's attitude when he made the offering to begin with. He was focused on himself instead of God. And that self-focused attitude quickly moved to bitterness towards his brother. And that bitterness, which was certainly there all along, just made things all the worse. And his anger turned to hatred. And his hatred turned to bitterness. And his bitterness turned to murder. And the action in this case, the terrible act of murder, reveals what had already been deep down within Cain's heart all along. The incident is mentioned, or at least alluded to, 6 times in the New Testament. And probably the most revealing of these times is 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Allow me to read it. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. This verse confirms what we've already been talking about so far with Cain and his actions. says that Cain was of the evil one and that his own deeds were evil. And this is referring not only to the actual act of murder, but ultimately to his sinful attitude in worshiping God, which included that self-focus. And self-focus is actually idolatry, putting ourselves before God. And that bitterness and hatred toward another, which is the same as actual murder, according to Jesus in Matthew 5:22, whoever hates his brother or sister is already a murderer. So Cain was a murderer long before he actually committed the act of murder. This is yet another reason why God rejected his offering. He had the wrong attitude when it came to worshiping God. And whenever we come to worship God, if we harbor bitterness and hatred towards anyone, it will prevent us from truly worshiping God. And God has the right to reject our worship. And the third and final factor of a sinful attitude which prevents us from worshiping God is the issue of unrepentance. We must remember that God is merciful. That's why I showed the kids that second crystal clear glass, because he is able to change us from that tarnished water back into that crystal clear person after the image of his son. And just as we are sinners with sinful attitudes and sinful behavior, God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. He wants to save all of us through faith in Jesus Christ. He wants to forgive us of our sins and give us that perfect righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, he gives us every opportunity to confess, to repent of our sins. He even gives this opportunity to Cain in our passage today. What a beautiful thing God does for Cain. After Cain murders Abel, the Lord himself confronts Cain in verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He is giving Cain an opportunity to repent, to come clean, to confess his sin of murder and everything that went with it. God is giving Cain an opportunity to receive God's forgiveness. And this is the exact same thing that God did for Cain's parents, Adam and Eve, in the previous chapter of Genesis. After they had sinned in the Garden of Eden, eaten the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they heard God coming in the cool of the day. You remember that? What did they do? They hid in the trees. But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" He was giving them an opportunity to repent. But what did they do? They didn't take the opportunity. And instead, they started blaming each other. God also gives Cain the opportunity to repent here in our passage. But he doesn't take the opportunity either. Like father and mother, like son. And since he has no one to blame, he answers the Lord, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" So in a way, he's blaming Abel, whom he already killed. Opportunity to repent, rejected. Thus, Cain proves the ultimate attitude in his heart is unrepentance. And for every human being, that is the worst attitude ever. It's bad enough to be self-focused and to forget about God and to be bitter and hateful towards our neighbors. But it is even worse to reject God's mercy by refusing to repent. An unrepentant attitude, again, is as bad as it can get for us as human beings. But especially when we're here worshiping God, or at least claiming to be worshiping God. If we come to worship with unrepentant hearts, if we hold that sin deep down we refuse to confess to a God that is merciful, if we refuse to acknowledge that He alone can save us, then He can't accept our worship. It's not that He's being mean to us. He cannot accept an unrepentant attitude from those who worship Him. It goes against His nature. Sure, we may go through the motions. It's easy to go through the motions. We can sing the words of the song, and we can actually even understand what we're singing and comprehend and say, yeah, that's right. Amen, preacher. We can nod our heads. We can put a large check in the offering plate. But if we refuse to confess our sins and repent, God will flat out reject every form of worship that we can give. Like Cain, this may make us angry. Oh, the preacher's talking about money. Let's get him. Well, aren't you just like Cain if you think that? If you do well, God says to Cain, will you not be accepted? God is more concerned about our attitude of heart than any outward form of worship we can give. Our sinful attitudes prevent us from worshiping God acceptably. But God is merciful. As I said before, God gives us every opportunity to repent. In fact, it is God Himself who grants repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. He has the ability to soften even the hardest of hearts. Thus, God accepts our worship when we come to Him with an attitude of repentance. This is no doubt the attitude in which Abel offered the firstborn of his flocks in worship to God. Going back to 1 John 3:12, which I already mentioned earlier this morning, it says that Abel's deeds were righteous, implying an attitude of repentance totally focused on God, his Creator and Savior. This is also mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. Abel's sacrifice was more acceptable because it was offered in repentance, which is clear from the fact that he was commended as righteous. God accepts our acts of worship. He wants to accept our acts of worship. He loves us. He loves it when we worship Him acceptably. So God does accept our acts of worship. He commends us as righteous when we come to Him in humility and repentance, acknowledging, God, I am a broken sinner. Forgive me so that I may worship You as You accept. And He does. When we confess our sins, giving them over to the One who died on the cross for those very sins, those very attitudes, God grants you repentance. He gives you every opportunity to repent. He calls you to live in daily repentance. And when we come in repentance and humility, God truly accepts our worship. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank You for the words of this text and for what they speak to us today. Lord God, we plead for Your mercy as sinners in need of Your grace. Lord, forgive us. Change our attitudes. Help us to continually acknowledge that we're lost without You, that we are poor, wretched sinners. But Lord, we know that You gave Your Son to die for all of our sins. So, Lord, we confess to You our sins this day. Give us the eternal life which You promised through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And, Lord, as we've learned in the story of Cain and Abel, help us to continue by Your strength alone to live in that attitude of repentance, to follow the example of Abel, to continually rely on your Son, Jesus, for life as we worship you. In your name we pray. Amen.